Thick and fast. That's how our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, describes the trouble that David is experiencing as a result of his terrible sin. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and today as the Bible bus takes us to 2 Samuel 17 and 18, we'll see one of the saddest experiences of David's life, the rebellion and death of his son, Absalom. We'll hear the details of this story in just a few minutes, but first, let's hear how God is at work in the lives of our fellow listeners. Here's an email. This is from a young man. Greetings in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. I listen at night and am always grateful for your teaching. Please remember us in your prayers here in this rural area. Jobs are scarce and money is tight. Next, we have a listener named Dell who posted this note on our Facebook page. Today, a letter from a German-speaking man was read. He's using TTB and other languages to improve his knowledge of those languages. For several years, I've been downloading TTB in several other languages and giving copies to missionary organizations and missionaries. I hope to keep doing this ministry. Some of those messages have gone into very interesting places. And then lastly, we have a letter from a mother in Puerto Rico. She writes, I would like you to know that I'm grateful to your ministry because ever since I've been riding the Bible bus with you more than 10 years now, I have learned plenty about the Word of God, and I've been motivated to read the Bible almost every day. I can honestly say that the Lord has been transforming me little by little. I notice it in my way of thinking and reasoning. It's amazing. Thank you to everyone who has labored and prayed, especially Dr. McGee. I now know I'll be meeting you in heaven someday. Please pray for the salvation of my husband and son. Thank you. Well, what's your story? How's studying God's Word changing your heart and mind? Are the difficult lessons that the Lord is teaching David speaking truth into your life? Tell us about it today. Choose your best option. You can call our listener testimony line at 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can email us at BibleBus@TTB.org. You can post a comment on the TTB Facebook page or send your letter to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Now, before we jump into 2 Samuel, I want to remind you that the notes and outlines that Dr. McGee is going to mention in just a moment are available to download for free at ttb.org/notes. And if you'd like to be placed on our automatic subscription list to receive the notes and outlines before each new study begins, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that gives us hope and light even in our darkest circumstances. As we study the life of David, please open our eyes and our hearts so that we may hear the message that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come today to the 17th chapter of 2 Samuel. You have your Bible, and we'll turn there. And also, if you have our notes and outlines, you'll find them extremely helpful as we move along through this particular section of the Word of God. Now, we find that in this section here, we're following the different experiences in the life of David. We saw, first of all, the triumphs of David. And now we've been discussing the troubles of David, and he's really in trouble right now. His own son, the boy that I think he loved above everything else in this world, has rebelled against him. In fact, he is leading a rebellion in the kingdom against him. And this is something that, very frankly, was a heartbreak to him. And David withdrew from Jerusalem because he didn't want it to become a scene of battle and a city destroyed in a battle. So he withdrew. He sent Hushai back to join with Absalom so that he might give him wise counsel. Now, Ahithophel, who had also been an advisor of David. He has gone over to Absalom. And now we find Ahithophel and Hushai giving different counsel. In fact, they are giving contradictory counsel to Absalom relative to the fact whether he should attack his father David at that particular time. Now, here was the suggestion of Ahithophel. And I'm reading chapter 17, verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he's weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. In other words, if David could be destroyed, that would break the rebellion, and immediately Absalom would be made king. And the advice he's giving is a terrible thing, of course. And he says, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all return, so all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. So that now even Absalom agrees to this. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. Now it's a good thing Hushai was there, because he gave a different procedure altogether, and his strategy was different. And he gave to Absalom some very good advice, and it's unfortunate Absalom didn't follow it through. And here it is, verse 7. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For, said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds, as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father's a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he's hid now in some pit, or in some other place. And it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. Now, actually, he's giving very good advice, but it's for the benefit of David, of course. And the advice is just simply this. He says, you must recognize, Absalom, that you're not a man of war, and those that are with you are not men of war. Your father is a man of war. He is acquainted with the field. He's a veteran. He's rugged, and he has the mighty men with him. And after all, you've driven him out of Jerusalem. They're chafed by this. They are licking their wounds right now. And it's the same position that a bear that's robbed of her whelp. The little bears, that mama bear is really going to fight and will become twice as dangerous as she'd be otherwise. And that's the way David is now. You'd be very foolish to attempt to attack him and then to begin. Suppose you did attack him. David has been pursued before. Saul pursued him. And he learned how to escape and evade Saul. And he wouldn't be among the people. He'd know where to hide. He'd know how to escape. So you'd be very foolish to try to take him. And if you did, suppose you went into the house and you didn't get David, well, they'd circulate word immediately that you were losing the battle. And you'd find the people that temporarily have come over on your side wouldn't stay with you. Well, that was very good advice that is given to him. He says, verse 11, therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him and of all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Now he says the important thing is, you are not prepared yourself to go into battle. Now, Ahithophel is not prepared. Taking a few thousand men won't overcome David. Now, what you need to do is to gather Israel together. And you get prepared for this. And then when you're prepared, then you lead the forces into battle. If you're going to be the king, well, you'd have to do that. Remember, that's the way your father really came to the throne. He was, first of all, a great general. And this is the advice that Hushai gives. Now, actually, it was good advice, but it was not for the benefit of Absalom. It was for the benefit of David. It would give David also time to more or less reconnoiter. And so we find that Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom, so that Absalom felt like the advice was much better. And candidly, friend, it was better advice, but it would be for the benefit of David in the long run. Now, there was that period in which they attempted to get together the nation and unite the people under Absalom. And we are told in verse 26, so Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. Now they're coming after David, you see. They have gotten together as many as they possibly can. And we find that David was fleeing. And this seems to have been the entire life of David, that he spent his time running from somebody. And here it's because of his own sin, of course. Now, verse 27, it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Maacah the son of Ammiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogelim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Now, David actually was in a very difficult position here. He'd had to flee without any preparation whatsoever. Now, he finds that he's got many allies in people that are round about, because they knew David now, and they knew what a warrior he was. And I'm of the opinion that these rulers of the kingdoms round about had very little confidence in Absalom. Absalom was deceitful, he was tricky, he would not be dependable, and none of them would have confidence in him. But they did have confidence in David, of course. Now we find that by this time, David's men are able to get supplies now because of the help of the allies. Then they can get ready for the battle. And Israel now, under Absalom, they come to the land of Gilead. Now notice in chapter 18, we have the people here now just won't let David go into battle. David wanted to. Here we have chapter 18, verse 1, and I'm reading. David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people answered, thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they'll not care for us. Neither if half of us die will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us, therefore now it's better that thou succor us out of the city. In other words, you can help us by not going to battle, but by staying here. That is the decision, actually, that the army made at that particular time. They will refuse to let David go into battle. Now, we find here David's tender love for this boy of his son. And I think we're coming now to one of the saddest chapters in the life of David. The chapter of David's sin is the sorriest, sordidest chapter. But this is the saddest chapter in the life of David. The death of his son Absalom. Notice the tender love that he had for this boy. And I'm reading now verse 4. And the king said unto them, What seemeth you best, I'll do. And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds, by thousands. Now David, they urge him not to go into battle. So David takes his place at the side of the gate. And now the army marches out. They march out under three leaders. There's Joab, Abishai, and Ittai. Now, as each one of these commanders came by, this is what David said, verse 5. And the king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, saying, Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. All the people heard this, and I think they all smiled. And I think that some of them, though, were just a little bit resentful. They felt like they'd like to get rid of that boy Absalom. I think he'd always been a troublemaker, and now they'd like to eliminate him. But notice, he's David's son. He's very much like David. David loves him. David wanted to save him. David didn't want him to die at all. And he said, deal gently with my boy, my son Absalom, that young man. And all the people heard that. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David, and there was their great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. It was a terrible thing. It was a civil war. We've had one in this country of ours, and we know something about a civil war. And this was civil war, and it was sad. It's too bad that it had to be, but this boy Absalom had led the rebellion against David. Now, he didn't recognize that David is a veteran. David is a strategist. David is a general. And he didn't have anybody in his group that could match David, and certainly these three captains under David. And therefore, the children of Israel lost, for the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country. And the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. In other words, they're in these woods, and as they're attempting to flee, they find that they're bottled in, and the wood actually, I think, caused more of them to die than the sword did. It was because of the fact that they picked the wrong place for the battle with David. Now, verse 9, And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, Behold, I saw Absalom hang in an oak. Now, apparently, this boy's head got caught in the forks of a tree as he was fleeing, by the way. And when his head got caught, the mule just went right out from under him and left him in quite a predicament there. And under other circumstances, this could be rather humorous, but it certainly is not here. Now we are told, verse 11, And Joab said unto the man that told him, And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, This man is shocked that Joab would want that boy who was a prince, a son of David, want him killed. He says, Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son? For in our hearing the king charged thee. And Abishai and Ittai saying, Beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life, for there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me. Why, said, you would have punished me had I done that. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. Joab says, I won't argue with you. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And the young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. Joab blew the trumpet. The people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. When Absalom was dead, of course, the rebellion was over. And that was what Joab, I think, wanted. I think he was very tired of this boy. He had no right to do what he did, especially after David had given the commandment that he did. But you can see that he's just tired of putting up with him, and he knows this will end the rebellion. Now, word is brought to David, and here is one of the most touching scenes. And here is where you feel like saying to the Lord, Lord, you whipped him enough now because of his sin. Let up on the boy. Let up on your son David because you whipped him enough. David is sitting now in a gate waiting for word to be brought to him. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself to Joab, and he ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? See, he hasn't all of the information. He hasn't the information that the battle is won and the fact that the son of David's been slain. And howsoever said he, let me run, he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate into the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, a man running alone. The watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there's tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near, and the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he's a good man, and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king, and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the man that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And that's all that David is interested in. And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. See, he didn't know that Absalom was dead. And the king said, turn aside and stand there. He turned aside and stood still. And friends, there are many messengers running today telling the human family from God that all is well. All is not well. Man is a sinner. Man needs a Savior. Man needs to know that the Son of God died on the cross for him. That's the message. And this boy didn't have the message. Now behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. You see, the thing that David's interested in, not winning the battle, but what about Absalom? Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. That is, he's telling him gently he's dead. And the king was much moved, went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went thus, he said, and here's the most touching expression of grief there is in the Bible or out of it, friends. Oh, my son, Absalom. My son, Absalom, would God I died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. I'm going to have to leave it right there today, friends, but I want to pick that up next time. This is very important and has a message for us.
This is a sad time for David, and on Monday, Dr. McGee will tell you the important reason behind David's intense grief. So be sure to join us. Now, if you'd like to get a head start, read 2 Samuel 19 and 20 over the weekend. In fact, it's always a good idea to prepare for each study by reading the Bible text ahead of time. To help, we offer a bi-monthly bookmark with a reading schedule. You can download the bookmark from the resources section at ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE and have it delivered to you with our ministry newsletter. And be sure to join us this weekend for more great teaching by Dr. McGee. On the Sunday sermon this week, he'll teach out of 2 Samuel 22 and 23 in his message titled, Water from the Well of Bethlehem. To listen online through our mobile apps or to see if your station carries the Sunday sermon, visit us at ttb.org. Now, our study of 2 Samuel ends on Wednesday of next week, and on Thursday, we jump right into 1 Kings. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for all of our studies are available to you for immediate download at ttb.org and by subscription when you call 1-800-65-BIBLE. Well, that's all for today. I'm Steve Schwetz. For all of us here at Through the Bible, we're praying that you'll experience God's great grace, love, and mercy for yourself as you walk with Him each day.
To Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.